Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, that is just not going to work at all. Oh, never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
And there's another great one coming right up with Donna Tumazder Esteban, who's joining us today. Donna is an amazing teacher who combines embodiment practices, energy management for high-performing organizations. She advocates an embodied approach to women's well-being that honors the feminine energy cycle. So she encourages people to awaken through their bodies. And today she will be presenting a really fascinating topic that I know I'm very interested in. I'm sure you are too, concerning the moon cycle and how to embody it. Donna, I can't wait what you have to say. I'm going to shut up now and pass the mic on to you. Just unmute your mic. It's always fun with a mute unmute.
I wanted to make sure that I don't talk over Leslie Kaminoff, you know. So, so I muted myself. Okay, so I'm back. I'm here. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. I don't know what time it is in wherever you're at, but I am in the Philippines. I'm calling from Manila, and it is right at the peak of the day for us. It's 12 noon. So, yes, I am very, very happy to be here. Wow. Where do we begin? So, maybe one of the places where we can begin right now, for those who have not done it, I would love for you to write down where you are at in your menstrual cycle. And again, if you see me looking to the side, it's because I'm reaching for my laptop, okay, and making sure that I see everybody. So, what phase are you in your menstrual cycle at the moment? So, Virginia, maybe you can help me just, you don't have to read their names, but maybe you can just
Yeah,
read.
absolutely. So we have a variety, Donna. We've got day three, we've got first day, we've got the follicular phase, we've got day 14, 15, 16, second day, sixth day, we've got the whole range. Day three here, we have a little bit of
Fantastic.
every phase.
I love this. I love this. And it's very also, it's also very nice for me to see that some people are uncertain. I'm seeing that on chat as well, not sure where you're at. Because let me tell you now, my dear fellow menstruating people, that, sometimes we don't know. We don't know. And this is probably one of the main reasons why I'm very, very happy to be here today, and not only as a presenter, but really as a voice for our wise wombs. It's a lot of times when we come into a yoga class, we're not asked where we're at on in our cycle. Who here? I'm just curious, you know, just type down a yes if you have been asked by a teacher before. Yeah, even if it's not a yoga class, it could be one of your gym sessions or dance classes. Do we get asked where we're at in our menstrual cycle? Never, no. Yeah, never been asked. And you know what? I came from that perspective before of like, there's kind of some rage about it. It's like, how come nobody is asking me? And I realized that, you know what? Yes, by me. Okay, Clarice, yes. If you've been to my class, I would ask you. Yes, thank you. You know, we cannot control people. But we can be responsible for ourselves. We need to advocate for ourselves fully, fiercely, unapologetically. And one of the ways to do that is to know where we are at in our own cycles. We may not even have to tell the teacher or anybody else, but at least if we know where we are at, then we can really honor our bodies. We can honor ourselves and practice, tailor our practice, tailor our choices for movement and embodiment. And this is what it means by embodying our inner moon. You see, our inner moon cycle or a menstrual cycle, as women, we are cyclical beings. If we are, not just women, you know, like menstruating people, and I'd like to bring up that term. I work primarily with women or people who are born with a pelvis, with a uterus, yeah. And but I am learning. I am also learning. So the practice that I will share with you may seem woman-centric, but please do understand that it's not just for women. It's for anybody who wants to connect to the womb space. Even men, yeah. If you want to connect to the faces of the moon, the womb, how our earth is also cycling, because we are cyclical beings. And because we are cyclical beings, we need to honor and really know what is going on in our bodies. Now, I want to present that for a while. And if you can see this, this is usually what we see when we Google menstrual cycle. It'll give us like 28 days and when these days are. Well, let me tell you now, the menstrual cycle as a 28-day cycle and only as a 28-day cycle, that is a myth. It's closer actually on average to about 29 and a half. And it could be even from like 24 to 35 is still considered within the range, although I would say that 24 might be too short already and 35 is really bordering into long cycle. But the point here is that we need to know what our cycles are like. Yes, there is an archetypal cycle. Yeah, there is a cycle that shows reflects the delicate balance, the choreography of our hormones. At the same time, though, these standards, okay, these archetypes are meant to show us possibilities. It's, you know, possibilities when we are in balance, in harmony, in rhythm. However, the most important thing is that we track ourselves as we go through our cycle. So there are many ways of understanding the cycle. Well, first of all, you can look at it in terms of metaphors. So I call my cycle my inner moon because, you know, we have our external moon and she is phasing, our sister moon is phasing all the time. And it is the same in our womb space. We can also use the metaphor of seasons, especially if you live in a temperate area. For us tropical people, we can even use harvest, the metaphor of harvest or watching a seed grow into a tree. We can also look at the cycle in terms of archetypes. So these are just options for us to be able to understand and truly embody the energetic imprints of our cycle, because each phase of the cycle has a different energetic imprint. And what's really amazing, every phase of the cycle, hello there, that is part of being a woman, being a mother, right? For those who are used to be, so hello. Yeah, okay, so let's move forward, yeah? I do love this photo of a tree. This is in Greece, in an area called Vafios, if I'm not mistaken, and this whole area has trees that are 1,000 years old even, so or so they say. And I feel that, you know, these trees have learned how to cycle and regenerate themselves, so I have great, great respect for our tree sisters as well. Now, again, I want to go back to us being hormonal victims of, what did I say? Hormonal victims? Yes, I did say that, okay? Because sometimes that's actually how we are conditioned, okay? That's how we are conditioned to think that we are victims of our hormones, or that we are, there's this term now that we are biologically identified, yeah, and also biologically determined. Well, let me tell you guys, yes, I am hormonal, and I love it. I am not a victim of my hormones. In fact, my hormones are there to support me at every phase of my cycle, and you are hormonal too. So when people say, if you are, let's say, in a very sensitive part of your cycle, which is usually the luteal phase, and somebody tells you, yeah, you know, you're just being hormonal, or maybe we even tell that to ourselves, right? Just say, yes, yes, I am hormonal. For each phase of the cycle, there is a cocktail of hormones that support us, that influence us. And vice versa, of course, what we do, the choices that we make in terms of the food that we take in, the movements that we do, the intensity of our movements, the relationships that we have, the tasks, our to-do list, all of these can influence that beautiful choreography of our hormones. So let's just breathe that in for a while, okay? Let's breathe that in for a while. I am hormonal. Now, when it comes to the cycle, we can also look at it in terms of how it is expressed. And we will go through this in an embodied practice. Let's just let me show you this yin and yang perspective. Because a lot of times we use the yin and yang. And during the period, they say that this is a very yin expression, because our energies are very internal. And as we come out of our period, we begin to externalize that energy all the way to ovulation. And ovulation is full externalization. Then after ovulation, we go back into a more internal space, and we'll experience that in a while. Now, this is one way of looking at it. Now, let's flip that around. Now, what is this? Okay. But wait, didn't I say that period was supposed to be the most yin? How come in this one it's the most yang? Well, the slide previous to this, this slide over here, shows us the expression. Okay. How energy is expressed externally. Now, what I'd like to show you as well is this other perspective. You see, my background is in traditional Chinese medicine and hormonal health. And if we take a look at the traditional Chinese perspective, it's a little bit flipped, yeah? We consider the follicular phase as a yin phase. And the luteal phase is actually the yang phase, the period, which is an externalization. We're literally pushing out, right? Shedding our uterine lining. So that's why we consider it as a yang faith. So which one is which? Both are true, because when we use yin and yang, it's all about the perspective. It's all about what lens are you looking at. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, it can be a little bit confusing, is because when we are in our, wherever we are in our cycle, we can ask ourselves, what do we want to balance today? What is our intention for the practice? Do we want to realign with the expression? Yeah. Which is this? Yeah. Or do we need something that is nourishing us? This is what I term as the renewal or the nourishing, okay, lens. Yeah. So that's something for us to contemplate on. We're not going to dwell on that today because I want to get into a practice, but this is something that we can contemplate on. What is our intention when we get on that mat? Now, we do have different powers, okay? The power of our cycle. During the blood phase, we can invoke the power of releasing. The follicular phase is all about the power of possibilities. The ovulation phase is about receptivity and expression, while the luteal phase is about the power of resolution. So if you can see this, it's like an opening and then a closing, a shedding, an exploration of the different possibilities, saying yes, and then a full expression of receiving and also sharing, giving. There's so much openness in ovulation. And then we go back now into resolution, where we become more focused. Now, in our practice today, we are going to explore some ideas, curiosity, moderation, boundaries, and of course, regeneration. And this can allow us truly to open ourselves up to our full power. Because when we talk about full power, it doesn't always mean an externalization, like here I am, world. Sometimes full power can also mean being completely present to yourself in a very internal way. Now, when we begin to track ourselves as we cycle, we can truly honor our wise womb. So I ask you now, how are you honoring your wise womb today? Let's just breathe that in. How are you honoring your wise womb today? Our body is always there to support us. How are we connecting to this space? So I want to start. Thank you so much, Beatrice. Breathe into it and allowing it to relax. Yes, yes. I'd love to hear some of the other answers. If anybody wants to say anything, you know, we're all learning here together. Yeah, maybe Virginia, you can read out some of the answers on chat. How are you honoring your wise womb today? Breathing into it, connecting to it, being here. Thank you, Becky. By being here, we're already doing a lot. So I want to open up to any questions. We maybe have about 3 minutes to answer any questions, any burning questions before we move into a practice.
Can you explain a little bit more about the honoring, Donna? Like, what would honoring look or feel like?
Ah, that's a very, very good question. And to answer that, I'm going to leave that question towards the end, okay? I mean, not towards the end, but towards the end of this, so right before our practice, yeah? Because that is one way already of honoring it. I saw a question in chat. There is one about seed cycling. Yes, nutrition plays a big role. Seed cycling is one of those things that a lot of nutrition experts recommend. There are some research that supports it. There's also research that says it's not significant, but for me, it's about lived experience. Try it out and see how you feel. Yeah. Any other questions? Whenever I look to the side, it's because I'm looking at my laptop where I can see everybody.
So somebody's asking, how do we teach this early to our teenagers?
She doesn't even want
to talk about her period. The young lady.
Okay, the truth is that our children are always watching us. So we begin by really becoming aware of our own relationship with our cycle. And at the same time, there are peer groups. There are sometimes, you know, our children listen to people their age, more a little bit older rather than us. Yeah. So that would also be a good way. Remember, they are watching you and they are learning from you as well. So let's begin. Let's begin. I'd love everybody to come onto your mats. If this is something that is possible for you at the moment, and please, please do turn your videos on because I can see you and I can make better suggestions. Well, better, or I like calling, you know, whatever it is that I am sharing with you, these are serving suggestions. Okay, you are in no, you know, in no way obliged to do what I am going to share with you, but please do experience it. It could be through your mind, through embodiment. And I do invite you to experience what we're going to go through today in the time that we have. Yeah. So I invite everybody now to get comfortable on your mat. If you've ever seen cats kind of like move around the space where they want to sit, and kind of also snuggling their buttocks. Yeah, snuggling their whole body. You might even see some who massage the space that they want to be in, and I invite you to do the same so that we can arrive in this space. Today we are going to take a tour of our yoniverse, of our yoniverse. So for people who are not familiar with the term yoni, yoni is in Sanskrit, if I'm not mistaken, and it is the whole reproductive area, yeah, your womb space. And even if you don't have a womb at the moment, or if it has been taken away for whatever reason, remember that the energy of the womb is still there. Now, I use a lot of imagery when I practice, so I'm going to share with you some images that you might want to use. And if it works for you, fantastic. If it doesn't, then maybe another image comes up for you. Now, I invite everybody to settle into the earth. If you wish, you can close your eyes. You can rock from side to side, noticing your connection to the earth, noticing the parts of the body that are on the ground. You can also rock back and forth. Slowly coming into stillness. If you wish to do this lying down as well, that is perfectly fine, or even standing up. Asking yourself, what do I really need today? What is life affirming for me today? And even in the small choices that we make, like, am I going to sit, lie down, stand up? We can come back to that question, what is life affirming for me today. Now I invite you to bring your attention to your sitting bones, your lovely bones that connect you to the earth, your buttock bones. And if you need to have a sense of it, you can lean on to one side, have your hand, and just palpate around your sitting bone, feeling the circumference of it. Being gentle with your body as well, noticing, what does my body need today? Does it need a firm touch, a gentle touch, or not even any kind of touch at all? Now slowly and gradually allow that lifted sitting bone to move down towards the earth, to root down. And as it roots down, you can gently coax it back and out. Yeah. Out to the side and a little bit towards the back. Notice if you feel that sitting bone more connected to the earth. It probably feels different. We can do that with the other side as well. So leaning in towards the other sitting bone, yeah? Lifting one sitting bone, feeling around the circumference of it, and then gently settling it down, allowing it to be heavy. Letting it take its time so it can root. And as you root, gently invite your sitting bone to move out to the side and maybe a little bit back. Notice now if your connection to the earth is clearer. From your sitting bones, see if you can root, and you can really imagine it, that you are growing roots. Rooting into the earth. Now we might ask ourselves, where do these roots come from? So now I invite you to take your hands together in a downward facing triangle, what we commonly call a yoni mudra. And place it right below your navel. And your fingertips are probably touching your pubic bone a little bit, so you can gently press in that area just to feel the pubic bone. And then the edges of your palms are probably closer towards your hip points, what we call the ASIS. Now, right in the center, this triangle here, that is the general area of our womb. Of course, the bladder is in front and the rectum is at the back, and in between those two, the womb space is there. And when we talk about the womb, it is a living body of wisdom. It's not just a flat two-dimensional photo. It is alive. You can imagine it almost like a flower even. And a flower can blossom fully, and it can also close up a little bit. And I've been watching flowers, and one thing that I realized is that the petals begin to open because of the inner energy, the energy inside. And that inner energy, we all have that. So if we can sense into our inner body and allow ourselves to blossom from the inside, you might notice that this has an effect on your pelvis. It might even bring you some sense of grounding, a larger base to ground on. You can also feel into the backside, placing that Yoni Mudra on your sacrum, that lovely triangle right above your buttocks, below your waist. Sensing into that, remembering that the womb space is not just in the front side, it's also in the back side. It's full. It's an organ, not a photograph. Well, let's take a little bit of a tour of our universe. If you need to stretch your legs out, go ahead and do so. Doing what is pleasurable for you. Pleasure is such an important aspect of the feminine principle. So from the inside of that space of the womb or the uterus, can we take a tour moving down through what we call the cervix that connects the uterus to our vagina, that canal? Sensing into the opening of the vagina and also our vulva, the labia, the clitoris. And as we go through it, I invite you to sense what is coming up for you. Even just hearing these words, vagina, vulva, clitoris, uterus. Some of us might feel expansive. Others might feel a contraction or even a constriction. We are not here to judge our experience. We're here to feel our experience and give presence to it so that we can truly honor our wise wombs. Notice the tone of your uterus, your vagina. You can even notice if there are sensations of tightening or relaxing. Sensing into the temperature, the moisture, even the dryness. Noticing if any judgments are coming up, any emotions are coming up. Now from this womb space, we once again root down through our sitting bones and also our pubic bone and our tailbone. Although the pubis and the tail will not reach the ground probably the way the sitting bones are, you notice that you can also root through that and go, root all the way to the belly of the mother, to the womb of the mother. Connect to our Earth Mother's womb. And remember that through her womb, we are all connected, wherever you are at in the world. Now, as you root down, you might also feel that the Earth Mother is nourishing you through your roots all the way back into your womb space. What does that feel like for you? To imagine, to really feel the nourishment of the earth. Now I invite you to place one hand right at the center of your belly, of your womb space, and allow the other hand to slide up to your heart area, to your chest. You might even want to sense around your breasts, your nourishing breasts. You know, in Filipino, we have a word for uterus, and it is sinapupunan. For me, it's such a beautiful word because some definitions of sinapupunan does not only focus on the womb space or the uterus. Sinapupunan can also include the breasts and also the lap. It's all about nourishment. So feel into the connection of your womb and your heart. There is an energy channel, a meridian that connects the womb to the heart space. Now taking that hand again, noticing that sensation in the heart. So when we embody, we feel into the sensations, into the experience. And now taking that hand from your heart, sliding it up your throat until it reaches the back of your head. And you can do this in a firm way, a gentle way, asking your body, what is pleasurable for you at the moment? You can place that hand at the back of your head and sensing into the connection of your womb space to the back of your head, and not just the back, but the entire head space, which of course houses our hypothalamus, our pituitary. And these two glands are part of our universe. They communicate to our womb space, to our ovaries, through the hormones that they produce. Hormones come from the Greek word that means to set in motion. The hypothalamus and pituitary sets things in motion as well. Now taking that hand all the way up, reaching to the sky and around you. Remembering also that what is around you, and you can move your body a little bit, feel into that space. Remembering, and you can also take that other hand if you wish, yeah? Remembering that what is around you is also feeding into your womb space, affecting our heart, our glands, and also influencing the release of hormones. So when we talk about our external environment, it's really not just a space that we are exploring at the moment, but also the food that we eat, the relationships that we have, the things that we put in our head, the stress, our to-do list. All of that is part of our universe. And take both hands, bringing it back to your head space, allowing that to slide down towards your heart. All the way down, maybe passing over the breasts, all the way back down to the womb space. Resting your hands in the womb space. Noticing how you feel. What is coming up for you at the moment? Now I invite you to find yourself in, lying down with your knees bent, still keeping in touch with the womb space, connecting to the womb space. So can you move from the mind of the womb . Now allow the pelvis to be heavy. Allow the back of the heart to be heavy as well. And if you wish, you can bring your knees directing your knees slightly up in diagonal and your feet get firmly planted. And you might notice that your pelvis lifts up a bit. Now you can gently brush the flesh of your buttocks towards the heels and then release the pelvis back down to the ground. Now remembering that inner body, can you spread the back of the pelvis from the inner body like a flower blossoming, because the energy is coming from the inside and it is opening its petals from within. Notice if that allows you to ground a little bit more through your pelvis. And we can do the same with the back of the heart, bringing one hand towards the right side and left hand towards the right side, opening up the back of the heart, and then letting that arm be heavy. The shoulder blade is heavy, and that brings you back to the center. Feel into this, and then do the same with the other arm, opening the back of the heart. So what we are doing now is already a practice that you can do when you are on your days of bleeding. During the days of bleeding, the best thing to do is just to rest. Rest is a workout as well for women. It's part of our workout. And during the first 3 days of our blood phase, for me, at least in my experience, the best thing to do is just to rest, be in a restorative state, fully honor that internal space. Our energy during the blood phase is fully internal. It's our sacred cave. I call it my sacred cave time. You can call it whatever you want. Now you can bring your hands behind your head, cradling your head as well, lengthening the back of the neck, and then gently bringing it down. Now, during the blood days, you can do this, and we call this cradling, placing your hand on your wound space and one on your heart, and just rest. Practicing deep listening, listening to your wound space. Maybe even asking questions. What do I need to release today? And the mind will hijack it for sure. But tell the mind, yes, I know you're there. But right now I want to listen to the wise womb and what it is telling to my whole heart. Towards the fourth or fifth day, your energy begins to move out. So the energy imprint is of the follicular phase, okay, which is actually the blood phase is part of the follicular phase technically. But we can say that around day four or five, the energy begins to externalize. So notice how you can do that in your body, feeling that movement outward. It's beginning to rise, and you might want to rock to one side. And it might take you into a child's pose or onto all fours. Feeling that movement of energy, it's beginning to externalize and come out from the sacred cave time. So notice how that feels like in your body. What kinds of movements come to the surface? You might even feel like a sprout or a seed that is slowly sprouting. Feeling that energy move up and out. What does that look like in your bodies? So during the follicular phase, this is the archetype of the maiden, and I like bringing in curiosity here. So in the yoga practice that I do for myself, my embodiment practice, is I take inspiration from some asanas. And notice the energy of this face right now. You might even want to stand up and explore. You know, during the follicular phase all the way to ovulation, our muscles actually build and repair better. So this is a good time to do your strong practices and have that curiosity. You can move and fall, and that's okay. You can come into a warrior, making sure that we're not leaving the stability and the groundedness of the blood phase. Our lower body can be grounded, but we can play. Curiosity. This is the power of possibilities. You can notice all the possibilities. How can your body move? If you are exercising, this is probably the best time for your high intensity interval training, because our hormones affect the way our muscles are, our tissues, our ligaments. And then come into full externalization of the ovulation phase. Noticing how that feels. What can you embody? What pose can you embody to be fully expressed and open, externalized? But also remembering that you still have the stability of your back body. When we say externalize, it doesn't mean that you're all just there. You can always lean into that back body. And here I want to bring in the word moderation. Sometimes moderation, we have that sense that, oh, it's like neutral, it's in the middle, it's middling. But when we moderate, it's really about regulating it. Because ovulation can also bring anxiety. So can we balance that? Can we take in some rests in between our externalized state, so that we can bring ourselves back into balance? Moderation. Also, some research shows that when we are ovulating, we become more prone to injuries because of the effect of our hormones on our body. So again, moderation. Can you externalize without hurting yourself? Such a good life lesson. And then slowly and gradually feel the energy imprint of the luteal phase from that fully externalized space. You can already imagine that energy is moving back in. And for a lot of the people, it is actually fall. We are in the season of fall for our friends in the Northern Hemisphere. So you can have that image in your mind. During fall, the energy is internalizing, coming back in. And this gives us a sense of resolution. We want to complete things. Now, the hormonal balance at this phase gives us that ability to focus and also to become sensitive to what truly matters to us. So this is a good time to build boundaries. So feel the boundaries of your body, your skin. You can come into a slower practice during this time, maybe focusing on longer held poses, feeling the boundaries. So if you wish, you can even come into a warrior pose, giving us focus. I like pretending like I have the bow and arrow of Artemis, giving me focus. And also it allows me to feel the boundaries of my body. Even our cells have beautiful boundaries, and boundaries are open-hearted. The cell membrane, for example, is permeable. It allows nourishment in, toxins to stay out, okay, and toxins to come out. And we have that. Open-hearted boundaries are like that as well. Sometimes during the luteal phase, I do a boundary practice wherein I press down on the ground or even the wall just to have that sense of, wow, when I meet resistance, some space in my body actually opens up. I don't have to barrel through it and I don't have to hurt myself. And that's something that you can explore as well, boundaries. Now feel that energy coming back in. And this time, maybe coming back onto all fours. Maybe coming back into a child's pose. We are moving back into the blood phase, going through our premenstrum. You might even want to lie down on your side. Honoring that internal movement of energy. And just because it's internal doesn't mean it's low energy. In fact, you can feel so alive inside during your luteal phase because of the emotional sensitivity that we experience during this time. It's actually quite a magical healing time. Things come to the surface. And whatever comes to the surface can be an opportunity for healing. Slowly coming back into your cradle or into any kind of embodiment that gives you the rest that you need as you move back into your sacred cave. And you can stay here if you wish. You can stay here and rest. I'm going to ask Virginia to maybe take a look at the chat if there are questions.
I have been monitoring it, but I am mindful of time.
Say that again, Virginia.
So I have been looking at the chat. There was a great question, but it is 55:02, and I would like to wrap us up in time and perhaps save that if we have time after the final announcement. I would like to remind everyone that you can still visit the Facebook group, the Embodiment Channel Facebook group. You can also visit the Facebook group of the yoga channel, and you can keep the engagement going there. And I don't know, Donna, if perhaps you'll be visiting some breakout rooms. So there are breakout rooms.
Yes, you can go to the yoga channel Facebook, and you can write down any questions that you might have. I know this is being broadcasted live, so you can write it down there in the comment section and I will answer. You can write me directly as well. Go to innermoonwellbeing.com.
And the links for Donna's website are in the chat. So you can find the link for Donna's website. You can also find the links for the coffee break. They are through the portal if you click on coffee break. It will take you to the breakout rooms. Keep the discussion going in the Facebook groups of the yoga channel and also the embodiment conference, but the yoga channel is your dedicated channel for this. The next session in this channel will be in 1 hour. It is by Nadia Smokotina, and it concerns the embodiment of emotions.
Perfect timing. I know. I saw somebody asked on the chat about if this can affect the way we deal with emotions.
So we've got you covered. So every talk presentation is fascinating. That's why it makes total sense to own the library. Remember, this is the last day of the conference. The price will be double after the conference ends. Get it while you can. There will be learning lists, there will be notes, there will be audio only version. It is amazing, amazing value. You can own it for life, digest it at your own time. Keep engaging with the community, because a lot of people will be catching up with all the talks they couldn't attend. And there will be a discussion happening. So do the smart thing, own the library, get it now before it goes double price after the end of the conference. Now, I would like Donna to pass the mic to you to round us up. I would love if you have your number one embodiment tip to share with us.
Oh, wow. That's a lot to distill in one thought. But right now, because we are focusing on our cycles, I really invite everybody to track yourself throughout the cycle, all throughout, not just the start date, not just the end date, all throughout, because you might discover some beautiful things about you. Cycle awareness is a mindfulness practice. Our bodies are there to support us. So we need to ask ourselves, how are we honoring our wise womb? And that is very, very important, because when we come in touch with who we are, we can make choices that reflect who we truly are, fully, fiercely, unapologetically. We are all in the process of becoming who we are, and we need to bring this conversation into our lives, into the mat space, and into all aspects of our being.
There's a lot of gratitude there in the chat, Donna. I want to thank you, the yoga channel, the embodiment conference, for putting all this together and giving voice to lovely people like you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
Thank you, sisters, and everyone who has tuned in today. Thank you so much. Please do leave a message on the chat about how you are feeling, or if there is anything that is coming up for you, and I will get back to it. Thank you, to the embodiment conference for inviting me and allowing us to give voice to our wise wombs. Thank you.
You did good work. Keep it up. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful last day. Hope to see you in the celebrations this evening.
Yes, enjoy.
Thank you so much, Donna and Virginia. Enjoy this day.
Thank you, Bahalana.